Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday, the 28th of September, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030. It is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe, KAPR AM 930 in Douglas, also carrying the Buckmaster Show. And of course, we're always on the Buckmaster Show website. That's buckmastershow.com. And that's the place you will see prominently displayed on the homepage the Buckmaster Show pledge. You know, we don't talk about this very much, but it's right there on the homepage, and here are the five tenets of the Buckmaster Show pledge. Listener opinions matter, respect the audience, it's a forum for ideas, present quality guests, and you will have informed listeners. That's the Buckmaster Show pledge for you. We also have live streaming at buckmastershow.com along with an archive of previous programs, and thanks to our agreement with Dylan Smith, publisher and editor of TucsonSentinel.com, Southern Arizona's online news service, the Buckmaster Show can be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. For today's show, great lineup. Lead-off interview with Tucson Transportation Director Jim Glock. Then about 20 minutes past the hour, we talk space with Dr. Mark Sykes, who is a regular contributor to the Buckmaster Show. He's with the and head of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Then at the bottom of the hour, a newsmaker interview with Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup. We are an interview-driven talk show, and we encourage you to be part of the conversation. 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. You can also email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. If you have a story idea or a particular guest you want to hear interviewed, we encourage you to contact us. Lots to talk about in the first 10 minutes of the Buckmaster Show with Jim Glock, head of the City of Tucson's Department of Transportation, which manages the Modern Streetcar Project with the Regional Transportation Authority. Mr. Glock, Jim, good to see you.
Great to see you, Bill.
And, of course, you at the end of the year, you will be moving on to other things after how many years of service with the City of Tucson?
It'll be 29 years. I didn't make it to 30, but I joke that I'm leaving on a prime number.
Oh, my goodness. You won't get the special 30-year pin. You'll just miss that by a year. Do want to start. We've got a lot to talk about in the next 10 minutes about the streetcar. I know some of the federal officials were in town because this is one of the major, as they say, Tiger grants from the federal government. What's the latest word on it?
Well, Bill, as you noted, this is the fifth largest Tiger grant that was awarded under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. The Federal Transit Administration Region 9 office from San Francisco was in town yesterday and going over a very lengthy agenda, making sure that we are fully compliant with all the federal rules and regulations and making sure that the project will be a success. We have two large construction packages remaining for the streetcar as we await the completion of their manufacturer in Clackamas, Oregon. One will be for all the line segment work that will occur from the University Health Science campus through the campus to the west side of town across the Cushing Street Bridge, which is under construction. And the second big contract will be the maintenance and storage facility, which will be tucked there behind 8th Street and 4th Avenue.
It's a nearly $200 million modern streetcar project. It will operate along a 3.9-mile route running from the Arizona Health Sciences Center and the University of Arizona campus through 4th Avenue and downtown to the Mercado District west of I-10. The project is managed jointly by the city and the Regional Transportation Authority. As you know, Jim, a lot of the naysayers say, well, nobody's going to ride it except perhaps some drunken students going back to campus. But I tend to think this is going to help encourage the revitalization of downtown Tucson. I think there is a lot of interest along the route, isn't there?
Bill, it's interesting you note that. As we were giving a tour to the representative of the Office of Secretary of Transportation yesterday, we noticed the development that's already occurring at the corner of Speedway and Campbell. The university is in some very serious conversations with respect to a joint University of Arizona private development there that could actually lead to a grocery store. As we travel to campus at 2nd Street and Park Avenue, there is a development interest in a two-phase project with 500 beds the first phase, 250 beds the second for student housing. There is another Marriott being contemplated there near Gentle Bends to add to the one that's already in place. As you travel along the line and you get down by the Dairy Queen at 4th Avenue and 6th Street, there is under construction right now the District, a student housing development that will lead to 750 beds, is my understanding. As you then enter into the downtown, there's the Plaza Centro that is poised to add another couple hundred beds. You head west into the downtown, you have the Unisource Tower, which made an investment in the downtown and right along the streetcar line. And then you have all the development occurring in the Mercado District, as you noted, with the senior housing being the first project coming out of the ground there.
Construction is slated to begin in January. It's expected it could go, 17 months, huh?
Yeah, it will probably take us into the summer and fall of 2012, which will then coincide of the delivery of the first vehicle that needs to be tested on the tracks for some time. And then we have all the vehicles over the following about 12 months. You'll be seeing us in the dead of night testing the vehicles to make sure that we're ready for revenue service at the end of 2013.
There are hundreds of businesses that are going to be impacted, 300 businesses on the streetcar's main route, and there are 900 businesses within a quarter mile radius of the main line. There will be an impact on these businesses.
We don't want to pull any punches. Clearly, the construction will offer some disturbance, and we are working our best to have our specifications keep that to a minimum. I do want to tip my hat to the RTA Main Street program. They have been getting out there and notifying the businesses that this will happen, and the best thing to do is to plan for that, to have your business prepared for the disruption, but to recognize that you're in a business and you can focus your business to excel even during those times of hardship. And we've seen them work some constructability or workshops just this last week on how to survive that, and I think they're getting folks poised to be able to handle this. But then once it's over, there will be much better access for the community overall to their business.
1212 on the Buckmaster Show. Jim Glock is the City of Tucson Transportation Director, 790-2040, if you have a transportation question for Mr. Glock. And we've got some good news for all of you that are sick and tired of the potholes. Mr. Glock has informed me there will be several million dollars now. Doesn't seem like a lot, Jim Glock, but it's a step in the right direction for pothole repair and maintenance.
During Mayor and Council's July 4th meeting, they did direct the city manager to proceed with land sales that can then support some residential pavement preservation work. And in anticipation of future land sales, I've gotten a green light to go ahead and expend $2 million. We are going to be ramping up probably mid-October to begin that in earnest. And we're using a relatively technically based prioritization system as a result of our pavement management system that we've had in place for over a decade to guide us. So we will be jumping around. You can go to the department's website, see the map that shows the priorities of what we'll be doing. But as you'll see, the map certainly shows that there's still a lot more to do, and we can use considerably more revenue over time.
Would it take how much, $25 million to do all the potholes?
To get to all the residential streets, it probably would take something on that order, Bill.
Okay, so. But $2 million, at least it's a baby step, but it's a step in the right direction.
Absolutely.
Travel to work by bike is increasing. There were some census numbers on this. You're a huge bicyclist fan. You love to bicycle. You bicycle often to work, I understand, right, Jim?
That's correct. I do joke, though, that I don't bicycle recreationally, so you don't see me riding around in circles. You see me riding to and from work. And the latest census numbers have shown that we've seen our bike to work ridership increased 56%. That's a huge increase in just over the past 2 years. And I think it reflects the investments we've made in infrastructure over the years, but it also reflects the bicycling community getting out there and encouraging people to do that. The educational programs that people can avail themselves of on how to ride safely, and for example, the summer youth workshops that Pima County sponsored this summer. Tucson Police Department and the law enforcement in eastern Pima County is heralded by the national bicycling community as being a model enforcement agency. That is a component of bicycling, and TPD is a big factor in that. So there's many E's to getting people out there on their bikes, and they're all starting to come into play for Tucson.
I kind of chuckled at a letter to the editor of the Arizona Daily Star from former state lawmaker John Cromco, wanting to know if there's any chance after you leave, retiring at the end of December, will there be an end to the back-in angle parking there. Thank you very much. At the University of Arizona.
Well, it was interesting. The angle parking was brought to Tucson by the developers of the main gate, Tom Warren, and it was something that we were actually somewhat skeptical of. And we had actually designed the improvements on the street that if they didn't work out, we could flip them the other direction. Well, we found for the pedestrian bicycle traffic at Main Gate, it has improved the safety tremendously. The crash rates associated with bicycle vehicular conflicts as a result of cars backing out of the parking spaces has been virtually non-existent. Now, it is difficult for some to get used to backing into those spaces, but once one is able to overcome that, it certainly is much safer and easier to get out. And what's interesting about the main gate, if you aren't comfortable backing into those spaces, there is more off-street parking in those parking structures surrounding there than just about anywhere in town. So it's easy to avoid that back-in angle parking should you so desire.
Jim Glock, who will be wrapping up 30 years, oh, close to 30 years, as in the City of Tucson's Transportation Department, we thank him very much for being with us on the Buckmaster Show, and I have a feeling we'll probably talk to you at least once more as you're still the Transportation Director. Jim, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you, Bill.
Coming up now on 17 minutes past the hour of 12 on the Buckmaster Show. This is the Wednesday edition on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. We're going to talk space for a few minutes with Dr. Mark Sykes of the Planetary Science Institute. And then waiting in the wings, the mayor of the city of Tucson, Bob Walkup, joins us at about 12:30. Stay with us.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialists and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Lemon Brace, Rosemont and 5th Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Well, 21. This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster. A pair of spacecraft are rocketing to the moon after a recent launch on the first mission dedicated to measuring lunar gravity and determining what's inside Earth's orbiting companion, all the way down to the moon's core. Dr. Mark Sykes is the Buckmaster Show contributor on space exploration. He is the CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. He chairs NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group and serves on the Planetary Science Subcommittee of the NASA Advisory Council. He's also very much involved in the development and use of commercial human space flights. Dr. Sykes, always good to see you.
It's great to be here, Bill.
You know, I was reading about this. It's kind of an interesting, this twin satellite moon mission, and you don't, it seems like the moon has sort of been pushed to the back burner, but it's good to see it come to the front burner, but it's a slow mission to the moon, isn't it?
It is. They're kind of hitchhiking, you know, there. It's going to take a few months to get there.
To save money, or
to save money and also to get lined up in the right position. It's going to take some time to adjust, because we got two spacecraft and they're going to be measuring their relative position to within the size of a red blood cell, and by making this very careful measurement of their positions and their relative positions, they can with great precision measure the effect of the small variations in the moon's gravity that's due to what's going on in the interior, or the interior structure, and even, you know, the what's near the surface, mass cons, things like that. And it's going to give them a great map of that interior and near surface area.
So there is still lots to learn about the moon.
Yeah, the moon is...
Even though it's one of those, been there, done that.
It's a familiarity breeds contempt. You see it up in the night sky all the time.
It's in our backyard. It's like the Grand Canyon.
We've walked there. We know everything about it. Yeah. But actually, there's a lot that we don't know about it. We don't know a lot about its thermal history. We've got fascinating clues from the moon rocks that were brought back, as well as from lunar meteorites that we pick up on the Earth, particularly in Antarctica. And so this mission is going to provide us with a level of detail of its interior structure that we've never had before, and on a global scale. And so we're going to learn a lot, get a lot of information that's going to tell us about its thermal history. Stuff in the interior, how molten was it, how separated is it into different components, does it have a metal core of what size, were your plumes up towards the surface. It's going to give us a lot about its history that we simply did not know before.
And this is kind of a cost-saving trip, right? I mean, the rocket that is sending these twin satellites is kind of a lower-end rocket, I guess. I don't know if that's the right
one. It's kind of a workhorse. It's a workhorse. Because it's nearby, it doesn't take that much oomph to get there as it does to say to get to someplace like Jupiter. And they're taking, like I said, they're taking the slow boat, and so they save some money there. And it's a very quick mission. Once it gets set up, it only lasts for 84 days, because that's how long it's going to take them to map out the entire moon or the interior, its gravity.
The gravity of it. But when it comes to mapping the moon, the physical surface, we're in pretty good shape there, right?
We've had some missions like the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, which is getting it to great precision. So we were getting a lot of detailed information about the topography. But beauty is only skin deep. And so with the Grail, we get to look under the surface to see what its personality is really like.
No, we may be surprised. I don't know if we want to know. For now, NASA has no plans, I guess, to return astronauts to the moon. Of course, the moon is Earth's closest neighbor. It's 240,000 miles away, roughly. That program called Constellation was canceled last year by the president, who favors asteroids and Mars as potential destinations in America's future without the shuttle. Is that safe to say the moon is kind of a real low priority for the administration?
Well, for right now, like you said, moon is nearby. It is a logical target for human activity. The question is, the problem previously that the Obama administration had to face was that there just wasn't enough money to do the job. It was a very expensive proposition to go back there. And so now we need to be addressing the questions of what kind of infrastructure do we need to build to expand human activity in space that would then make going back to the moon and other objects in the solar system that much easier. And of course, we need to address the question of what our long-term goals are anyway. Are we just going tourist class? Are we going out there to live and work and to live and die beyond the Earth, expand our living space?
I think this is a real exciting time. It's got to be for you being involved with the NASA Advisory Council, because we really are at a crossroads with the American space program, aren't we?
things are under a lot of stress because of financial considerations, but that also forces us to contemplate what are our priorities in space, both in terms of human exploration as well as robotic exploration and other science activities. So I'm hoping that what will come of this will be some real long-term thinking that may open up some doors to a future that we contemplated more back in the 60s than we have of late.
I always like to mention the Planetary Science Institute. I'm a supporter of this fine organization, and you guys do absolutely, your men and women over there do great work. You have, how many scientists are associated with the PSI?
Well, we have about almost 100 people working for us, and 77 of them are PhDs. So they cover all kinds of activities. They're involved with numerous NASA missions, as well as European, Japanese, the Indian mission. They do basic research. They're telescope jockeys and using both ground-based telescopes and space-based telescopes. So we cover quite a wide gamut of solar system exploration.
And you had a recent open house. Folks can go by periodically, drop in and say hello, right, and see what you do. Give us where you're located.
We're located up on Fort Lowell and Campbell, or near Fort Lowell and Campbell. And we had an open house on Thursday night. About 50-60 people showed up and stayed, and we had a great time. I really enjoy sharing what we do with the public. We had a lot of stuff on display, including 3D images from Vesta, from the Dawn mission, as well as from Mars and other places. And it was a lot of fun. We had a good time.
Planetary Science Institute, based right here in Tucson. Dr. Mark Sykes joins us every month. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, it's coming up now on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. His Honor, Mayor Bob Walkup, is in the wings. He's in the building. He is next on the Buckmaster Show. We'll spend a half hour with the mayor. Stick around.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A federal judge in Alabama is refusing to block some key parts of a state immigration law considered the strictest effort by any state to clamp down on illegal immigration. As he tries to shore up weakening support among Hispanics, President Obama's voicing frustration with what he says is the perception that he can fix the nation's immigration system all by himself. Republican presidential hopeful Mitt Romney isn't suggesting he's never changed his mind, but he's brushing aside criticism that he's a flip-flopper. He spoke today at a town hall meeting in New Hampshire. New York City's police commissioner is elaborating on his recent claim that his officers could shoot down a terrorist plane if necessary. Wall Street, the Dow down about 92 points. The NASDAQ is off 32. More details at srnnews.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
This is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster. And the home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And folks, it is Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. A friend was up in Casa Grande yesterday saying, Bill, your show, clear as a bell up in Casa Grande. We're heard all the way into New Mexico. Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station is right here on the Buckmaster Show. And up next on the Buckmaster Show for his monthly visit to this program, Tucson Mayor Bob Walkup. Mayor Walkup.
Well, it's great to be back.
You know, this radio station has been pushing Tucson needs jobs. We're hearing a lot of that, and rightly so. We need jobs. Well, we're getting some jobs. This is a pretty good week for Tucson, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, it has been for about the last month. I can tell you that the BE industry of a month ago that says they're like 80% capture on the outfitting of wide-body jets, the modules that they put in first class. They've got 80% of the European market. And then here today we announced the Bombardier and
Bombardier Aerospace has already hired over 100 workers since the beginning of the year. They don't want to put an exact number on how many more, but there are going to be quite a few more, I take it, before the end of the year.
Yes, and John Borg, I know all about that that industry, and what a hard job that John's put in over the last 4 or 5 years, getting this extraordinarily valuable product marketed, and now he's got manufacturing underway in the city of Tucson. Very, very proud of John and his team.
That's Borg Industries.
Borg Industries.
Yeah, it's spelled B-O-U-R-Q-U-E. And it's really, they're really gearing up, and I guess they could be employing up to 200 workers.
That would be just the start. Mm-hmm. He's got a contract, I think, a department down in Florida, but he's got a product that is superior in ballistic coefficients to be able to stop high-powered cartridges, and he's developed here in Tucson, and I'm pleased to have the manufacturing here.
And I think the aerospace sector is really the TRIO, the Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities, known as TRIO, and I know you sit on the chairman's circle, you're on the board of TRIO, and TRIO and Joe Snell, who heads up TRIO, they went to the Paris Air Show this year, I think for the first time, and he's saying that a lot of people were saying, oh, Tucson, I guess you're pretty serious about aerospace.
Well, you know, I've been to the Paris Air Show, it's a tough sell over there, but I think Tucson is exactly like it's being portrayed, that we've worked hard to get our name out into the place where people are making decisions on where should I strategically be located, and I think that when you do the analysis, Tucson is a business-friendly place. We're trying to make it even better, but to get manufacturing job, Bill, in these tough times is an extraordinarily positive statement about this community and the workforce. The workforce is what people are being driven by high productivity, quality output, and Tucson wins.
Then there's RMS, Business-to-Business Accounts Receivable Outsourcing Service. They announced yesterday they need to fill 240 positions at their service center in Tucson. And a lot of people like to knock the so-called call center industry, but it really is a vital component of what of jobs here in town.
Always has been. If you take a look at the total number, the last number I heard, it was around 17, 18,000 people are currently employed in Tucson that are paying well over minimums. But what it does, Bill, is really prepares them for a good job in the area of marketing and sales. And that can be very rewarding. So it is a good business to have here in Tucson.
It's 12:39 on the Buckmaster Show. Mayor Walkup is with us, 790-2040. If you'd like to speak with the mayor, 790-2040. I know you saw the editorial in the Arizona Daily Star, and I believe you're going to take issue with the second paragraph, the sentence here. Rio Nuevo is synonymous with failure in Tucson. Your response?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the media, and particularly the published media, has really painted Rio Nuevo, the name, very dark, Bill, to the point where it's almost impossible to try to explain that it built the foundation by which all good things that we now see happening in the downtown area had to have done. All the remediation on the west side, all the archaeology work that had to be done, the infrastructure that had to be put in place, critical acquisitions. No, the proof is in what is happening today in the downtown area. And it's the combination of what was invested by the city, by the state, by the federal government, and the private sector. It's about $400 million that have come into Tucson, and we are seeing the results of that. And Rio Nuevo is kind of the foundation of that whole process.
And your transportation director, I know you were listening on the drive over here to the Buckmaster Show, Jim Glock, revealing to us about all the business interests that is now lining up along the streetcar route. I did not know this about the Marriott Hotel is thinking of a second property. Jim was telling us about that.
Jim Glock is a great, has been a great director of transportation for
the
city.
Can you convince him to stay at least another year so he could get his 30-year service pin?
I tell you what, Jim is such a good person that I think that he said, it's time for me to kind of take a look at other places for my career, and I wish him well. He has put his thumbprint on a magnificent transportation system in this region. It is absolutely the truth, and Bill, the key was what happened in 06 with the creation of the Regional Transportation Authority and the plan approved by the voters. In that was the light rail. It had to be matched by federal funds, but it was $2.2 billion of needed work in this region, plus the streetcar. And when we finally got the matching funds from the federal government, that's when all the people that were riding the fence said, you know, I don't believe this is really going to happen. They said, oh my gosh, it's really going to happen. And the connection to the university, to the city center, the scrambles up to be able to get property along that route for vertical growth in this city, which is desperately needed.
Mayor Walkup is with us on the Buckmaster Show at 12:42, and I think we are going to be taking a break right here, and when we come back, we will be talking about the mayor, about civility, and was the mayor censoring media or at his meeting at the city council, was he doing some censoring? We'll talk to the mayor about that as we continue with the Buckmaster Show.
We'll be right back. Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at SierraSunControl.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you too can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:46. This is the Buckmaster Show. Mayor Bob Walkup is with me, 790-2040. Earlier in the program, in our interview with the mayor says takes issue with the Star editorial today, Rio Nuevo, synonymous with failure in Tucson. We've been talking about jobs. We've been talking about the light rail system. Now let's talk about the news you had made over the last couple of weeks, Mayor, concerning censoring speech at a Tucson City Council meeting. And to put this into context, after the tragic shooting of January 8th, you went to your fellow mayors across the country and said something has to be done about civility in the way we talk at city council meetings. And how many mayors signed that pledge?
To date, 250 mayors signed the Civility Accord. That represents about 45 million people that they are have been elected by. And I tell you that, yes, the January 8th was part of that. The president's speech was part of that when he came and said, you know, are we doing right by our children and our community? Do we understand kindness and generosity and compassion for our fellow man? And I would be hypocritical if I signed the accord and came back and said, well, even though I signed that, I'm going to tolerate very aggressive and abusive and disrespectful behavior, which by the way, the first article is very clear, and the Supreme Court is very clear. It does not allow absolute rights as far as freedom of speech is concerned. So in the conduct of the council meeting, we have a set of old rules. And in 12 years, Bill, I have never had the cause to do that until recently. And I did. And I said, I'm not going to put up with it. And I asked a person to stand down. We're taking a look at the rules. I think within a couple of weeks, we're going to authenticate the rules that we've had in place since 1986, I believe. And we're really suggesting that it's time for all of us to treat each other with kindness and respect and dignity, and understand both of us have rights.
Well, the media was all over you on this, basically saying that you're trying to shut down public comments, you're trampling on the First Amendment. What do you say to those folks?
Well, I cannot tell you how many city council meetings that I have administered over the last 12 years. And I have one event on a repetitive, abusive response toward one of our staff. And I could tell the council was irritated, and it was incivility. And I pledged that I must speak out on incivility and abusive behavior. So I'm not ashamed at all of what I did. My opinion has nothing to do with the First Amendment, which I absolutely believe in.
So the council's looking at, and you're, with the city attorney looking at, perhaps changing the call to order and allowing people to speak, or no?
Well, we have a set of rules that have been in place for quite some time, as a matter of fact. But we're taking a look at what other cities are doing. What are some of the case law as far as the First Amendment is concerned, and what are the rights of the elected officials in the conduction of the business of running the city? I do not want to violate the First Amendment, but it takes some research. So he's doing the research on what is allowable, what does the Supreme Court say is my rights as the manager of the city council and of the person that must maintain discipline within the city council activities.
It's 12:51 on the Buckmaster Show. Mayor, you want to slip your headset on there so we'll be able to listen to Dan, who is calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Dan.
Hello, Mayor. Thank you for taking the call. I'm going to have to question some of these things. I have several small franchises around the Tucson area, and I can tell you, talking about this civility, what the sheriff said, some of the comments from the sheriff after that shooting chilled my blood, to tell you the truth. All the good people in this state and this sheriff and Grijalva make it sound like we're a bunch of animals. Why don't you speak to that? And one other thing, when I hire these kids from TUSD for these minimum beginning jobs, so many of these minority kids are so rude to my customers that I have to let them go.
Okay, Dan, thank you. Let's hear what the mayor says about civility.
Well, Dan, civility is something that's been around for years and years. And the First Amendment, which is the freedom of speech, but it also says that, you know, we need to be treating each other with dignity and respect and understanding. And you just mentioned hiring employees. And one of the first speeches I'm sure you give to new employees is their relationship with the customer. And that's civility. So you understand civility, and I understand civility. And I think what the sheriff was saying was out of frustration at that particular moment. If you were to talk to him today, he will tell you that the country had drifted into abusive treatment, especially in some of these political rallies that have been going on. And I think that his comments were, we need to move a bit back to the point where we demonstrate that we care about each other, that we care about points of view, But we need to respect each other and treat each other with a better understanding and better respect.
Mayor Bob Walkup is with us on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040. The Tucson City Council, of course, is searching for a new city manager. Richard Miranda is the acting city manager right now. Mr. Miranda has been around Tucson a long time. He's the former police chief. He knows the system very well. I would assume he would be a serious candidate for this job.
Let me tell you that Richard Miranda, as chief of police, as the deputy city manager, and now as the city manager until the council makes that selection, is a superb city employee with great understanding and great discipline. Now, you talk about somebody that cares about other people. I've never, ever seen Richard Miranda be abusive in any nature to anybody. And that's as the chief of police and now as the city manager. So the reason that the council really likes Richard Miranda is that his relationship with other people of the county and the state, but his historic understanding of this great community over time. He has served for years, and my personal opinion is I hope they select him as the permanent city manager when they get down to the process of taking a look at other candidates. I think he's head and shoulders.
So you say Richard Miranda is your choice for city manager?
If I were voting. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
If you were voting, right. You know, getting back to that editorial today in the Star about downtown and this deal with the TCC, where's the money going to come from? I think everybody agrees, what, $40 million is needed in repairs to the TCC? It's got to be done. We've got to fix it up.
Well, here's the deal, and this is where Rio Nuevo kind of gets a bum rap. The media and the Star said, and little to show for it, it's only about half done. One of the things that still has to be done is the convention hotel and the upgrade of the TCC. We ran into a buzzsaw in 07 with the economic downturn. I tell you, Bill, if we would have gone ahead with the hotel just so we could check the box, we'd be having a hotel that is half empty, and I tell you, the public would just go nuts. I think the time is going to come in the future when we will put the convention hotel appropriately in place and then fix the TCC. I think it would be backwards to go and renovate the TCC without the hotel. I think that would be the wrong sequence. So you do the hotel, you do the Tucson Convention Center, but you must have the money in place so that the hotel is done by private investment. And I think that Rio Nuevo understands it must do the modernization on Rio Nuevo and TIF money.
And the Rio Nuevo board and the city trying to get together here to talk about this.
Yes. Matter of fact, I met with Jody Bain this morning. I said, Jody, whatever we can do, let's be sure our people work through this issue of how much money do we have. What's the term sheet say that you should own and we should give way to? Let's resolve that so that we can get on with at least minimum repairs to the TCC. We need to do that from a safety standpoint, and we need to get on with the convention hotel and a major upgrading to TCC.
And what did Jody say? I mean, did she realize that we've got to move forward on this quickly?
Jody is a great person. I mean, you got to keep in mind the Rio Nuevo board is a group of citizens that have been selected to do a really daunting task of managing the state's Rio Nuevo activities in Tucson. And you got to sort out a very complex system. But the council believes, and Jody believes, and I'm sure so do her board, that the best way through this thing is get some people sitting down and said, all right, let's work this out. How much money do we have? What's the forecast for the future? What are the critical projects? And let's get on with it.
Mayor Walkup with us on the Buckmaster Show. I've only got about a minute left with the mayor. And what is the timetable now, the transition from 12 years for Bob Walkup as mayor? You will be on board. When's the swearing in for the new mayor? That'll be December, I guess.
6th of December. Yeah.
And then you're going to wake up on December the 7th. And, hey, I'm no longer the mayor after 12 years. That's going to be a little hard to take for you.
Well, a little bit. But
a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little
no,
bit.
No, Beth and I love the city. And I tell you what, Bill, we love the next 3 to 5 years. Next 3 to 5 years are going to be spectacular for this great city, because downtown is going to come alive. The university, I cannot tell you how important the university and downtown and the streetcar are to our future and the economic prosperity of this community. That will put us on the map as a city that gets it, that gets that we're a part of the 21st century. It's going to be fun standing up there on top of A Mountain looking down and saying, boy, that was a great run, and I'm proud of what I've done.
And we've still got a couple more visits with you as mayor here on the Buckmaster Show, and then over those next couple of visits, we'll be talking about the post-mayoral life for Bob Walkup. You're not going to sell your Harley Davidson, are you?
I've never had one.
Oh, you didn't ever have a Harley?
No, I borrowed it.
Oh, you borrowed it. Oh, my goodness.
But look, I've got two motorcycles. I've got some old Hondas that I love. But when I went with the big boys out to the desert.
Yeah, that's when I was thinking of that you had a Harley.
I borrowed it.
Okay. That's going to do it. Mayor Walkup, good to see you. Have a great afternoon, okay?
I surely so.
Okay. Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. We are live noon to 1, Monday through Friday, right here on KVOI, The Voice, AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We'll see you tomorrow at noon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.